Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with six race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Deadline for late summer registration is September 22nd. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Rachel Grimes is a pianist and composer. She's created music for chamber ensembles, orchestras, film, and other musical groups. Her most recent project is actually a little bit difficult to describe. It's called The Way Forth. It's a multimedia project, a performance, a film, an album, a history inspired by the lives of Kentucky women from 1775 to today. Rachel Grimes is from Kentucky, but she's coming to Iowa for the Witching Hour Festival in Iowa City. She'll be giving a lecture and holding a conversation about creative expression, but she'll also be performing The Way Forth November 1st at the Englert Theater, and she is with me on the line now. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Charity. So nice to be with you.
Well, so nice to talk with you. And I did a little bit of explaining about what The Way Forth is, but why don't we start at the very beginning and tell me what inspired this project?
Well, this project seemed to come out of a very in-depth process that I was going through with my family. And it just kind of came out and told me that I needed to work on this as a musical project. I really hadn't set forth to do this, but to do this exact piece. But essentially, I started investigating some family photos and letters and sort of stories I've been hearing since I was a kid. And I just, I really wanted some answers, and my imagination was going, you know, in all directions, and before I knew it, there was some music, there was a lot of imagery already just in the photos that I had, and some of these really, really old documents, things like land deeds and letters, postcards, a scrapbook from my great aunt from 1908. So, I managed to have all of these things kind of at one time in my life because I was helping both of my parents move into more skilled nursing care. And as anyone that has been through this process knows, it's quite a journey, you know, to figure out what objects you want to keep, what letters, what photos, what newspaper clippings, you know, that we should save and which things need to go. And, you know, both of my parents had a life's worth of these kinds of mementos, and then they also had many things from their parents and grandparents, and so it it was a lot of information coming at me and my brother when we were going through all this, and it just seemed to kind of lead me to the creative process.
Well, I think this is a wonderful place to listen to a little bit of music from the project, The Way Forth, because the song is called Got a Hold of Me, which seems to describe exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
So let's listen a little bit. When we're listening to that song, Rachel, it's telling us a story. Tell me a little bit more about the story it's telling.
Well, Got a Hold of Me is the first piece of music in this work that I'm actually calling a folk opera. And it really is coming from the emotional point of view of me or of a modern woman, you know, looking back into her family's history and sort of tangentially the history of a region, which in this case is Kentucky. It's where many generations of my family are from. And the lyrics describe that kind of state of being at unrest and emotionally unsure what is even happening, but knowing that maybe a person or ideas really have a hold of you and they are leading you somewhere. So the chorus of the song actually goes more into the sort of underlying themes of the work, which are these questions about the origin of dominion and violence and oppression, which is pretty dark stuff, but you know, it's the question is essentially, you know, why is there so much violence? Why did we come over to this place only to kill people and to rob them of their land? You know, this is at the base of it, the question. But, you know, you don't realize, I think, until many songs into the piece that what we're really talking about is the origins of the settlement of the state of Kentucky. And that, you know, that just unfolds as the work goes along. And so this first piece, we're just hearing kind of the emotional state.
Well, and you mentioned that this project was inspired by digging into your family history. So Walk me through that. You're looking at pictures of your grandmother and thinking about her life as a school teacher. But How do you get back to the beginnings of this country and Kentucky?
Well, in a very zigzaggy kind of way. as I have describe this piece, it's nonlinear. So it's very similar to my personal experience of trying to organize all these materials. You know, nothing is in chronological order. Nothing, you know, almost nothing is really carefully divided by who this, you know, material relates to. It's you know, often things are just kind of in a big box. And some things are really clear, like my grandmother's autobiography, which she wrote for a college class when she was in her 60s. She went back to get her degree finally after a whole lifetime of teaching school. And what I love about it is the detail. She really talks about what it's like to teach in a one-room school. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that most schools were one-room schools. And I feel like it's a way of getting into the past through a personal voice and really imagining what it must have been like, you know, to go to a one-room school, to teach in one. And so that was a pretty straightforward piece. That piece of music is called Red House School. And other pieces weren't as straightforward because they were just assemblages of ideas and impressions. And, you know, I crafted them into a song. But sometimes I got way further into the past because I was asking questions about a photograph or a letter. And sometimes it was just self-evident. It was a deed, you know, with a date on it. So I knew that this deed actually was a transference of land before Kentucky was a state. So it actually says Madison County, Virginia, things like that. So, you know, every song kind of departs from a different point in time or a place or from a different voice. And sometimes there are many voices, like with the chorus really represents the community. So sometimes there's a point of view of more of the culture at large, and sometimes it's very personal voice.
I'm talking with Rachel Grimes. She is a pianist and composer. We're talking about her folk opera, The Way Forth, and it is a multimedia project. So we're talking about music. We'll talk about film and images as well in a moment. She's going to be coming to Iowa for the Witching Hour Festival in Iowa City. She'll be giving a Creative Matters lecture on October 30th and hosting a conversation about creative expression on the 31st, and then performing The Way Forth, November 1st, at the Englert Theater in Iowa City. We'll continue this conversation in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. My guest is Rachel Grimes. She is a pianist and composer, and her most recent project, she's calling a folk opera. It's called The Way Forth. It is a multimedia project that is inspired by the lives of Kentucky women from 1775 through present day. Rachel Grimes is from Kentucky. She'll be in Iowa City for the Witching Hour Festival coming up right at the end of October, beginning of November. She'll be performing The Way Forth November 1st at the Englert Theater. And Rachel, just before the break, we were talking about really where this started for you when you were going through these boxes and looking at the images of your family, finding some historical documents that took you back before the statehood of Kentucky. I can see that for a lot of people at this point, you said you were helping your parents move into assisted living. There is the pull, the draw of nostalgia when you're looking at all of these family memories. But you clearly were drawn to go beyond nostalgia, not just to think about your family, but also their place in the world. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, of course, you know, some of the photographs and the objects that I was, you know, holding are so personal because I do remember my great-parents, you know, my grandparents and my stories of my great-grandparents. So that's the sort of, you know, obvious nostalgia that you would feel, you know, when you're looking at memories from people you have known. But when you start to read more stories about people from longer ago, you know, many generations ago, then it becomes less personal because you don't have the experience of that time period. And I guess for me, I was asking a lot of questions about the context of the time period. Where did they live? How did they live? And in the case of the women, you know, for me, the context was always through the lens of, well, how much choice do they have in the matter? You know, did they have much choice in who they married, where they lived, what they did for work, how many children they had? You know, women didn't have a lot of freedoms until pretty recently to decide these matters. And in some cases, even in Kentucky today, you can't decide all of those issues. You know, so I think that's a big part for me to get beyond the nostalgia is just to ask the bigger question, you know, what was their life really like? You know, in the settlement days of Kentucky, women not only worked to the bone, you know, to get crops in the ground, to prepare, you know, all that was required to move their family over the mountains into this area, but they were having babies and trying to keep them safe and clean and then, you know, being ready at all times for horrible weather or confrontations with other people. I mean, you know, they were working really hard, but you don't read about those women almost anywhere, you know,
and particularly not in their voices.
Especially not. And so it's really difficult, actually, to find, you know, much older material, you know, early American days, colonial times, written by women from their point of view.
Of course, right now we are also marking the 400th anniversary of slavery on this continent. And that's a big part of Kentucky's story as well. So you didn't want to just tell the story of the women in your family. You wanted to represent the voices of enslaved women as well. How did you approach that?
Well, like so many points in this project, I stumbled upon a beautifully compelling story about a woman named Dolly that I hadn't expected to find woven into my family story. I actually joined Ancestry.com as a result of all of this, investigation to try to answer a couple questions about some of the earlier relatives that I had that came to settle Fort Boonesboro, which was one of the initial settlements here in Kentucky. And in trying to answer just some basic questions about who was who and whose children were whose, because there were a couple of marriages and remarriages, I found a book called Women of Boonesboro, and in that book, it talks about Dolly, who was enslaved to one of my relatives, Colonel Richard Calloway. And the more I read about the story and reading that she gave birth to the first child in that fort and that he was a mixed-race child, I just followed her story. I wasn't any longer much interested in my own, details of my family. I was interested in the fact that she was on that expedition, that she gave birth, and that she, at least in the early history of that time and those expeditions, she was never mentioned. So I started researching her, and, there was very, very little information on her or her son. And so I did ask for help with some of the research, and my high school English teacher introduced me to her cousin, who does a lot of online research, and she helped me to learn how to better look into African American genealogy, because it's especially tricky given that people didn't always have last names, and finding information about people, especially whose family members had been taken from them, is very challenging. So this became a big part of the work because of my interest in Dolly and her son Frederick Hart.
When you started exploring that, I mean, I'm sure this was not the first time that you had tried to reckon with the history of slavery in Kentucky, but I am curious about how thinking about Dolly, and I mean, reasonably, you could also be related to her descendants, as so many families are intertwined. How did that change your thinking about that period of history?
Well, I think what I never knew enough about and was really eager to hear more about is what were those early days like for the settlers that came from Virginia, North Carolina into Kentucky. We've always grown up around here hearing sort of simplified story of the brave axemen led by Daniel Boone, and they came in to, fend off themselves from the savages and to take this wilderness to develop it for the Great West. Well, that's just not at all the story.
Right.
And I think I always wanted to know more about it. And like with any good true story, it's way more complex than the way it was represented. For one thing, Native peoples have been living here for tens of thousands of years, and there were many other people that were part of the exploration and settlement of the area, that were never written about, and that is the women and the enslaved people. And, a lot of enslaved men had essential roles in the exploration of the new territory, in cutting the roads. And, they were as much a part of these expeditions as Daniel Boone and so many of his contemporaries. But they were almost never written about or named. I think part of what was interesting to me is just to read, to find more information about people who are typically ignored in the written history. And I think that that's something that, culturally we're doing, especially at this time, because we're finally, as a society, perhaps ready to start listening to the bigger story and to all the voices that may have been a part of a given moment in time, and not just the people who were writing it down.
So you start with your family history and you expand your search in so many directions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that that part of the story resonates with a lot of people. Then the next thing is you think, well, I need to write a folk opera about this, which is maybe the part of the story that doesn't resonate with all of us. So tell me how the music started coming into it.
I can't even point to the day or the time that that happened, but as with so many things in my life, you know, I just respond in a creative and a musical way, and I think that I just had so many of these stories and faces and little glimpses in time that were going around in my head that I just felt like it would lend itself to music, and as soon as I actually steered myself in that direction, it seemed to be kind of pouring out, you know, ideas, themes, even some sort of rhythmic patterns and harmonic textures, you know, just seemed like to come immediately to me, like, this is the quality of this music, this sort of searching and reckoning with the past, and also this kind of, you know, blend of American styles. This piece is pretty different for me because, for one thing, there's a lot of voices and lyrics and singing and spoken word. I usually stick to chamber music and instrumental music, so that was a big new adventure. But so much of that was driven by, you know, these materials, these letters, these words from people that were just grabbing me. And I think one of the things that was so fun about working with that material is these, you know, really antiquated language and then particular ways of speaking. I just couldn't resist it. so anyway.
Had you written music called out for music? Right. Had you written music with lyrics before, or were lyrics the brand new element here?
I have, but not that many times. And usually, if I have set any music to text, that text is usually already existent or written by someone else. So, you know, I don't consider myself a lyricist, but I didn't write every single word in this piece by a long shot. I mean, a lot of the pieces are the actual words from these women from the past, and I've just excerpted them and used them to create a song or to, you know, write the music that goes underneath the narration. But in some cases, I've just, like with Dolly, I don't have even a photograph or anything of her. I have only newspaper accounts of her existence, and I have the story of her son and her grandson, which is just a fantastic, beautiful story to depart from and create a piece of music. So I did have to write lyrics that I felt represented Dolly in a moment in time.
Tell me about your experience with images, because looking on your website, as you tell the story on your website, you include many, many old photographs, but also there's this film component to the project, which when you perform it, it's a multimedia presentation, so film is a part of that, and you're hoping eventually to have this be a film that people can watch. Tell me about you as a photographer, your work with images before this.
Well, it seems like, for as long as I can remember, imagery and sound and music, they go together, and I've always loved film, and I've always loved just improvising music to, you know, a photograph or imagery or, you know, or just a narrative that's in my head. So it's always been there, and even in the early bands I was in, the Rachels, we had film that was part of our live performance. We really emphasized imagery and art in our, you know, album art, and at a certain point I realized that I liked to take photographs, you know, for that purpose, and I started using my own photography for album art. So it's been kind of just a step-by-step process, and I initially approached a friend to see if he could help point me in the direction of someone that might want to collaborate with me on making a companion film for this music that would be shown live. And I grossly underestimated, you know, how much time that would take to capture a new film, and then how to incorporate these archival images with the new film into, you know, a piece that could be used for the live performance. But I am delighted to say that I was introduced to this amazing woman, Catherine Axley, who's been my collaborator on this film since that three-year-ago period. And we just have an amazing time together. And we get in the truck and we go to places that, locations that I think are really connected to the music or to the feel of a particular song, and we just start shooting.
Let's take a short break.
but we are just intuitively following what feels like the right imagery.
Let's take a short break, Rachel. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking to pianist and composer Rachel Grimes, and we're talking about her folk opera. It's called The Way Forth. She'll be performing it on November 1st in Iowa City as part of the Witching Hour Festival. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with six race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Deadline for late summer registration is September 22nd. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. My guest is Rachel Grimes. She is a pianist and composer, and her most recent project is what she calls a folk opera. It's a multimedia project, an album, a live performance, a film possibly eventually. It's a history inspired by the lives of Kentucky women from 1775 through today. And Rachel, before the break, we were talking about when you thought, I need to incorporate film and images into this project. You went to your friend Catherine Axley, and now, first of all, you said this started 3 years ago. So I this project has had a hold of you for a very long time. When did it actually, like, the genesis happen? How long have you been thinking about this?
Well, it was spring of the of 2016 that I was starting to face, you know, the mountain of boxes and things that I had to put in order. And I also had a family trip. My cousins were coming to visit, and I thought it would be fun to have just the sort of best of photographs for us all to look at. And that was for the summer of 2016. And I guess it was in part because I was trying to get some kind of album together of our family photos, that it just, it would keep me up at night. I mean, it's just like the more I worked on trying to get that album put together, the more I found, the more questions that came to the surface. So it's not like I was, you know, knee-deep in orchestrating music 3 years ago, but eventually, I think it's right about 3 years ago, I wrote the first song or two about my reactions to these stories and images. But, you know, it's a long piece. It's 65 minutes of music and narration and choral music, and there's strings and piano and harp and guitar, banjo. so there's narration and there's singing voices. So, it did take a while for me to develop all the songs and get all the orchestrations created. And then I had, you know, of course, we're filming when we can in between all these rehearsals and recordings, and we actually got to do the piece for the very first time live with a full orchestra here in Louisville in February. And so orchestrating it even beyond the chamber group, you know, took me another few months. So yeah, the project's way bigger than I ever anticipated, but it is quite a ride, and I'm so lucky to be on it and glad to still be enjoying it. So
now I've had a few small glimpses of the film that goes along with this performance, but describe it for us. I mean, there's a certain element of, you know, just gorgeous scenery and horses and you know, kinds of a Kentucky countryside, but there are also other pieces to this film. Describe it for me.
Well, my initial hope for the film was to capture footage that helped to illuminate this first-person point of view. So I wasn't interested in filming, like, scenes with people's faces or anything like that. So what I was really wanting to focus on were like small intimate moments from everyday activities, especially from a woman's point of view, with the focus being on the hands. So hands are kind of a central theme in the film. So you'll see hands doing a lot of different things, daily tasks, folding materials, working in the garden, picking up walnuts and putting them in a basket, random things, some of which were just never anticipated. It's just something that we happen to have a chance to film. And the other parallel world that exists, throughout this piece and for me in everyday life is the natural world. So we did do a lot of filming in the countryside along scenic roads, in pastures and creeks. We caught a lot of wildlife. And, weather and seasons and rivers. And those are all reflected throughout the film, as a foil to the emotions being sung about, but also as this presence of this eternal energy and spirit that is nature. And that's another theme, in the piece, is this idea that actually God is this presence of nature and the force of life that continues on. And so one of the things that I look at in the piece, is religion through this lens of traditional Christianity here in Central Kentucky, and asking whether, it was never a good fit for me personally as when I was raised, and I think I always preferred to just be outside, doing something in nature. And for me, that's my spiritual place to go. And it's something I reflect on a lot in the music, too, is the idea of the religion in nature.
What do you want people to take away from this experience? And there's so much there. When they leave the theater, what do you want them to take with them?
Whatever fills their heart. I have no idea what people will take for their experience. I just make what feels right to me to make, and I hope that people will find, some joy and adventure in experiencing the music and the imagery, and it's theirs to experience in whatever way they want to. I don't have an agenda for people to take away from this. I think that for certain, if you aren't familiar with Kentucky rural scenery and a general imagery, the general imagery of Kentucky, you will get a very good sense of where this place is. But I think that it should be a personal journey, and hopefully everyone will have their own unique experience.
You premiered it in Louisville last February, and so, of course, your audience was very familiar with the history of Kentucky and with Kentucky countryside and all of those elements. You're going to be performing it in Iowa in November. How is it different to think about an audience that isn't going to have that familiarity?
Well, I'm really excited about it, and I think it'll be really interesting to hear what people's reactions are. What do they get out of this? I think there are some parallels in this piece that will resonate with just about any American, because a lot of what I'm really investigating is, what are the origins of the settlement of this country? And, of course, every postage stamp-sized county in this country has a unique story, but there are underlying stories about, the settlement of the colonies and the westward expansion that I think we can all somewhat relate to. I'm sure we all have a different point of view about what that story is, but I think we learn more all the time about those critical moments in history, and so I think an Iowan would be able to experience this history here in Kentucky in a empathetic way and hear some of their own history as far as settlement and the lives of women along the way. So,
did you find what you were looking for in this project?
I did find a lot of answers, and I found way more questions. I did learn a lot about my family, and that's what I set out initially to do. But in making the piece itself, I think I also wanted to learn how to bring more close together this idea of imagery and sound and music. And yes, I've had an incredible experience filming with Catherine and editing with her and being challenged to bring these ideas into a musical voice. So I'm still experiencing that. I'm still enjoying that journey.
This started as a personal exploration for you of your family after this 3-year-long journey. And I realize you're not at the end of the road yet, but did it change your idea of who you are?
Well, certainly. And I think I just feel more familiar with the nuances, of my family's past because I've actually investigated them and I have more information. I have more specific details, both from asking my relatives, but also looking into the historical details through research. So I do feel like I do have a better specific understanding of my family and, where some of these behaviors and attitudes might have come from. I mean, both sides of my family, my mother's and my father's sides, go way back. Part of it is just a question about, for me, a question about, what does that mean to have been, here in so many different branches of the family for so long? And I don't really have a straightforward answer for you there, but, and I have to admit that a lot of the searching and these questions really come from, grief too. I've experienced a lot of loss in my family over the last few years, and actually the piece was supposed to premiere in the spring of 2017, a chamber version of this piece that did not have the film. And the night before our premiere, my brother had a heart attack and died out of nowhere. And that loss and shock was a big part of what reoriented me in my life, and also to ask, for me to ask myself what mattered. And I wasn't able to work on this project or much else for months because I was, really unable to. But when I came back to this project, I think I it just put me to the test about what really matters and to go for it. My brother was an amazing musician and drummer, and I felt at that point that I didn't have a choice but to just really go all the way into it. And so, that has been a huge force in the piece, dealing with the loss of my brother and subsequently my mother. And, I think we all find our ways to deal with grief. And, for a creative person, I think we, if I was a quilter, I'd probably have made a few dozen quilts by now. So this is just the way I have worked through it. And it has been helpful for me.
Rachel Grimes, thank you so much.
Thank you, Charity. It's so nice to talk to you.
Rachel Grimes, she is a pianist and composer. Her most recent project is a folk opera called The Way Forth. It is a multimedia project featuring music and film and photos and history. It is inspired by the lives of Kentucky women from 1775 to today. And she will be performing it November 1st at the Englert Theater in Iowa City when she comes to participate in the Witching Hour Festival. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Stick and stone.